Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Statz Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. A lot to get to after a busy weekend in the sports world. A lot of NBA to discuss as the conference finals are officially set after Game 7 last night in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about all the games from the weekend, start setting up these series as we've got Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals later tonight. Spurs and Thunder. We'll talk about all the action from the PGA Championship over the weekend. A lot of baseball, football to discuss. A little bit of everything over the next 3 hours. But, Brett, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Brian. I promise I'm not trying to be a wise guy because I couldn't tell you. I could not tell you. Winner of the Preakness.
I've heard the name a couple times. I didn't watch a second.
Napoleon Solo.
Okay, Napoleon Solo.
Shout out. Way to go, Landon. Way to go.
John and I watched it all the way through.
How about that? Wow.
I watched the race, and I didn't know. And I did watch the race. Boy, it lost a lot of luster. Not being at Pimlico.
Yeah.
No Triple Crown. Ooh, boy. It was...
The first time on Saturday that I even thought about it was when I got a notification on my phone that whoever won, Napoleon Solo won. And I said, oh, yeah, that was today. And I completely missed it. I didn't think about it.
Napoleon Solo just left old Bonaparte completely out.
How about that?
Time waits for no man, does it?
No, it does not. It does not.
It does not.
Now I guess we'll have
Napoleon can head off the Elbe again, be all by himself, all by his little self. You know, he was about 4'11".
That's right. Yeah, no, a small fella for sure. So yeah,
caused a lot of his idiosyncratic ways to want to take over the world. Look what it got him.
Look what it got him. Yes, they call that little man syndrome.
They do. That's what it is. The classic call of it.
Yes, that's exactly right. But no, yeah, I missed all the
4'11". I could post him up. I'd be Wimby over me with him.
You'd dunk on him, Brett.
I would.
or at least take that, something.
Take that, Napoleon.
That's right. You need to go over to John's house where he plays with his buddies on the 8 foot rim. There, and that way you can.
He's dunking everywhere.
Everybody's dunking on an 8 foot rim. That's where all the fun is.
But there'll be some dunks tonight.
There are. No, this is going to be a really, really fun series. I think a lot of people, when the playoffs first got set and we knew that was number one, number two, a lot of people were hoping that we would see this Western Conference Finals. Spurs, a lot of success in the regular season against this OKC team, but things change in the playoffs, and we'll see if they can have more success here, or if that playoff that the Thunder, that playoff experience, if it comes in play and they're able to roll the Spurs. I think this is going to be a great series.
I do too, and I think you do realize it. I think everybody realizes it, how much in 2 weeks Oklahoma City and San Antonio will hate each other.
Oh, definitely.
And then give it 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years, because this is what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Mid to late May, a lot of times over the next many years.
Yeah, I think we're going to get this this matchup a lot. And so, you know, you've already seen over the last couple of years, you know, Victor Wembanyama and Chet, it doesn't seem like they like each other too much. And so now getting a full series of those two going at each other, I think, will be a lot of fun.
What's the beef there? Who has the bigger chest?
I think they've just seen each other for so long. I mean, they were going against each other in high school at these, you know, different USA, international
competition,
tournaments. So I think it's just they've seen a lot of each other, and I'm sure both of them, the lanky big men, a lot has been talked about each of them to each other. And so I think that rivalry has just blossomed over the last couple years. And so, it should intensify here. And both these teams, they can talk a lot of talk and walk a lot of walk. And so it should be fun over these next couple weeks.
When I mention, hey, you know I'm talking about in a sports context. It is an awfully ugly word. But do you realize how much in a sports context we're going to hate Wimby in 2 or 3 years?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's going to be the exact same that we talk about with any of these dynasties and any of these great players. You know, they very quickly become the most hated, from the most loved to the most hated.
But he's got Pop and Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker DNA in him.
Yes, he does.
And San Antonio's used to it. Sure. Here they are back again. Yeah. Bring it on. They don't care.
No, they don't care at all. And it's a really fun team.
Great franchise.
It is. And, you know, they know how to go out there and make the moves that they need to make to put together a really competitive team. So they have that again. And, yeah, I mean, it feels like over the next 10 years, we could see this matchup a whole bunch of times. And so,
constantly.
Get used to it, because I don't think it's changing anytime soon.
I'm playing for a little credit. Y'all mind?
Okay, please.
in my hand, in my right hand, I have our NBA preseason picks.
All right.
Western Conference Finals, Denver over Oklahoma City.
All right.
So I got one out of two in the West, right?
Yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Uh-huh.
My Knickerbockers over Cleveland.
Wow. How about
three
that?
Out of four.
Wow. That's pretty good. Yeah. But no, I got to give you credit for that.
Got Denver over the Knicks.
Well,
in the finals.
You know, that's okay. That's all right. But
Landon,
hey,
you did too. You had Denver, didn't you?
I was about to say, I was Denver heavy as well.
Wow. So, hey, I mean, but getting the East really, really good. And
how about that?
That was really ugly last night for Detroit. That was bad basketball.
It was ugly. It was early and it was often.
Mm-hmm.
The first 9-point lead, it was over.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you knew pretty early where that game was going, and Pistons just didn't have anything. I mean, they looked out of it early, and which was kind of a surprise to see
head
at home
combo.
In Game 7, and yeah, now they'll go to the offseason.
It was a roadie series, though.
No, well, what's so weird is it didn't start like that. I mean, they came into it, and it was the first four games, it was only the home teams winning and really dominating, and there was the story about Cleveland and the lack of success throughout the entire playoffs, going back to the first round of road success they had, and then out of nowhere, you know, they go back to Detroit for Game 5, and it felt like Cleveland became that road team. They win Game 5, they lose Game 6, and then they go out there in Game 7 and really dominate. So it was a very strange series, really, from the start.
While I know Detroit, that they're disappointed, the season was not disappointing.
No, it was a great season. I mean, again, you know, look at where they were a couple years ago and just, I mean, one of the worst teams in NBA history in the season that they had. And so where they have gone from in just a couple of years has been super, super impressive to watch. And I mean, they certainly have issues. I think you can watch the playoffs and see a couple of issues that they have. And I think they'll go into this offseason. I think they've got a really smart front office. And I think they'll try to address some of those issues and try to come back next year and build off of this, because I think they learned a lot about themselves over these last couple of weeks.
I'm really proud of my preseason NBA picks. 8 out of 10 of playoff teams in the East, 8 out of 10 in the West. MVP Jokic, he missed on that. Yeah. He could win it every year. I don't think he was robbed, do you?
No. I mean, I think SGA was very clearly the MVP. I think, you know, and that's another one. We talk about Thunder and Spurs, how many times we see that. I think over the next however many years, we're going to see some sort of order at 1-2 of SGA and Wembanyama over the next however many years. Those two guys are special, and I think they'll be at the top. But I never have an issue with SGA winning MVP. I think he's an incredible player.
Coach of the Year, Quinn Snyder, didn't hit, but wasn't crazy.
No, not crazy.
Rookie of the Year, Cooper Flagg. It was easy. Everybody had that. First coach fired, sadly, Willie Green. And today, Jamal Mosley.
Yeah, how about that?
Have the Pelicans not heard about how it ended in Orlando? Has the news not reached New Orleans?
I guess not. I think,
we've got news faster than during the height of the Louisiana Purchase.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, well, they've got the whole, you know, the Gulf kind of in the way between Orlando and New Orleans. So I think it's, you know, kind of lost in translation there a little bit. I don't know. But, yeah, Jamal Mosley. Good for him, I guess.
Brian, one thing from the weekend, it doesn't bother me. But I understand – people wanting to all and people think that sports is just like a jukebox. You just throw a couple coins in and it spits out a classic. We got it, but with some talking about a little bit of a ho-hum NCAA tournament. Do you agree we had some of that?
Sure, yeah.
And the lack of Thursday, Friday blockbusters, you know, of St. Leo of Benedictine upsetting somebody.
Sure.
And we're getting that now out of Aaron Rye winning yesterday. I think it's very unfair. I said to several people, I did a show in a good friend of mine, Bill Vickery, hosts a show on Sunday mornings in Little Rock, and I joined him yesterday. And I said, I want one of these nobodies that most people would say is a nobody. I want one of them to win because that's how you become a somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to win their first major. And for a lot of people, that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just win one. So I was kind of for one of those. I was thinking more Alex Smalley, really, than anyone else. But Aaron Ross, a more accomplished player than Smalley and a couple of the no names. Landon's cousin, Matty Schmid, right there in the middle of it. Why'd he drop the T on y'all, Landon? I like
he
y'all.
He just didn't want to be associated too much anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
wanted to make a name for himself.
Sure.
Well, good luck, Matty. But probably the last time we're ever hearing from him is yesterday. But Aaron Robb was low man. That's what everybody teeing off Thursday morning or Thursday wanted to accomplish. He did, and so many are grousing that, you know, it lacks star power. Even the pros themselves are whining about how tough the course was. And it was the same course for everybody. We always get on Thursday and Friday, and sometimes even into the weekend, you can get that early, late weather differential. Mm-hmm. There's nothing new at all about that. And Aronimink did get all four seasons mm-hmm. during the 4 days, didn't they?
Yeah, no, it really did.
Yeah, very, very open championship.
It was. It was. The weather was wild out there all weekend. And so,
and I was okay with Aaron Ra for this simple reason. We will have Aaron Ra in our field at FedEx, at the FedEx St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in August. We were not going to get John Rahm. We were not going to get Cameron Smith. And I'm very doubtful that we were going to get Rory McIlroy. Again, if Rory McIlroy could not be convinced, could not be guilt-tripped into coming to Memphis in the year that the great Fred Smith passed away, why was he going to come when he had at least two of the four majors, and he knows he's in the next leg of the BMW in St. Louis at Bellerive mm-hmm. and ultimately in the Tour Championship, so he wasn't coming either. And so many of the people that I saw and could feel were pulling for Rory, they didn't pull for him last year at the Ryder Cup, but they have at the Masters, they are in other tournaments. And after, if you are a fan of the Memphis Golf Stop, by whatever name, whatever time of the year, through all the years that we've had it, if you're a fan of that event, how in the world could you be pulling for Rory McIlroy yesterday when he's done a lot more to us than LeBron James has ever thought about doing? He pure D stiffed us, kick sand in our face, go pound sand, Memphis, is what he said last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I you know, you mentioned it. You know, the rules in the PGA Tour haven't changed any, and so, you know, I obviously, I don't think until the rules change, nothing would change with Rory McIlroy. And I still, you know, I know we've talked about this. I think that's where the frustration should more be, is at the PGA and kind of the way the playoffs are set up, than, you know, on Rory, because I think he just saw the loophole and is taking the loophole. But no, I mean, I think you're right, and that's kind of one of the reasons I was upset that Aaron Rye won it yesterday, is because I like being kind of the only one following Aaron Rye throughout the 4 days.
You are the Aaron Rye stand. You're too glove stand.
I love Aaron Rye, but I was so happy for him. And so I can't talk much about maybe frustration or lack of happiness.
But we will have the PGA champion here.
Sure, sure.
We probably are not. We're not going to have Rory McIlroy as two of the four. Or yeah. Even if he goes mm-hmm. on, would have gone on and won the Grand Slam, or now goes on and wins three out of four, we're probably not going to have him. And if we do have him, how should we treat him?
I mean, I think if he showed up, I think we should treat him fine. I mean, I don't.
I mean, rose petals in front of every step.
I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that for any golfer. But
conquering hero.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I'd just treat him how you treat every other golfer. I wouldn't treat him any differently.
He had rabbit ears yesterday. Got into it with a fan. I mean, would somebody go, "Hey, Roy, thanks for last year"?
I mean, you know, I think that's fair. You know, if you're out there and you want to, you know, I'm all for a little heckling. You know, I think there's the line not to cross. But yeah, I mean,
certainly.
You know, if you wanted to, you know, get at him a little bit for not showing up last year, then I think that's fine. But I mean, I can't, you're talking about people upset about yesterday. I really can't speak on that because I'm too biased. Yesterday was the most fun I have ever had watching a golf tournament, a Sunday at any golf tournament. I was so happy for Aaron Rye. I was cheering from the opening hole until he closed out 18. And then I was getting mad. I was texting buddies, getting mad at the lady. God bless her. I mean, she was doing a great job, you know, etching Aaron Rye's name. Getting at it a little too early. I mean, calm down. There's still golfers out there. There was still an opening for somebody.
She had the Dremel out early, didn't she?
She did. She did. And was getting it done. Look, she's got a job to do. She's got to do it and have it
ready. Third last name ever. Three-letter last name. Can you name the other one on the famed Rodman Watermaker Trophy?
No way. What a tough question to ask me, Brett. There's no way I'm answering that.
It's really not. It's not that long ago.
I still.
Day.
Okay, Jason Day. Okay, I would have never gotten to that. Would have never been able to land on Jason Day. But no, I had a blast watching Aaron.
Well, she
Ryan
was meticulous with it.
She was, and she had her nails done. She had her rings on. I mean, her hands looked great. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
really
she
did.
She was ready for the moment. But I was getting
she
a
was.
Little antsy.
It was her time.
It was.
It's like
she
every public address announcer on third down. Now it's their time.
Right. Yeah, that's their time to shine.
It's their time.
No, I had a blast. Got to
take
yesterday.
A shot.
You got to. You know, it's your moment, so you got to take advantage of it. But no, I had a blast watching him yesterday. I thought it was a really, really fun PGA Championship, and really, I mean, throughout the 4 days, I thought a lot of storylines that kind of came out of it, and different guys.
I love the golf course.
Yeah,
I didn't know this about Newtown Square, PA. Do you know how big it is? Now I know it's a suburb of PA. I couldn't have either until I heard this morning. Rex Hoggard, this morning I saw on the Golf Channel, 2,500 people.
Oh wow. Wow, okay. I did not realize that. That is interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. No, but I had a blast watching it yesterday. I thought it was a lot of fun, and you know, got me excited to see Aaron Rye in August.
I congratulate him. I think it helps tournament directors.
Sure.
I mean, that's one more major winner.
Oh, definitely.
In a lot of the tournaments, and you know, hope he doesn't pull it like the Kentucky Derby winner and now bow out for the next few weeks.
I don't think you will. I hope not, at least, because I do love watching him play. And so, really fun to watch. And then
you think Golden Tempo had the remote control back and forth to Preakness and golf?
No, I think Tempo was locked in on the. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, I think most people, when you know they're at the top of their sport, they're really fixated on that sport.
Yeah.
So I think Tempo was.
Me
and,
too.
And now you know you got the third leg of the race that now you know Golden Tempo is supposedly going to race in that one. Now I guess we'll see.
He's not tired.
I don't know who the horse is. I still can't remember the horse's name that won yesterday. But you know.
Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah, Napoleon something or other, you know. now they'll meet in the third race, and, you know, we'll see who the strongest
horse is. Well, will they? I mean, for a sport that they are supposed to run in, they don't really like to run
No. It's one of those things, you know. You get it only ever so often, but good for them, I guess. They got it down. But
boy, just think how happy you'd have been with Aaron Rodgers, your shot.
Oh,
and $14 million, though, by the way.
I thought about taking him, which
I know is very much
hindsight. Right now.
He's your guy.
But I always kind of have him in the back of my mind, but I didn't go with him. And
last year when you followed him in Memphis, how big was the gallery when you were following?
Not very big. Two years ago, I was quite literally the only person following. It was him and Jason Day.
I confused it.
I was,
so they played Jason Rye and Day?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Two or three years ago.
It was foretold then.
That's right,
on the Watermaker.
It really was. And then last year, I can't remember how many people were following, but I remember it was either 2 or 3 years ago, and it was just me. I was out there, and I was the biggest. And that was when I felt bad, because I was only cheering for Aaron Rye because I had a bet out on him, and I had him to beat Jason Day, and I felt bad. And then I
and he does
him,
seem like a very nice man.
He seems like great. And you heard all the golfers talking about him yesterday. I mean, it sounds
in
like,
unison.
He is really a fan favorite on tour. So it was really cool to see him get the win yesterday. But we have a busy show over the next 3 hours. Let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30. We'll talk more about the PGA Championship, everything that happened over the weekend. Aaron Rye getting it done, but it was a crowded leaderboard over the weekend, so we'll talk a lot about that in our next segment at 3:30. 3:45, talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll go back and discuss what happened over the weekend in these different series, but last night it was all Cleveland over the Pistons in Detroit. 4 o'clock, David Cobb from CBS Sports. He'll join us. We'll talk college football and college basketball with David. 4:30, we'll get into the NBA Conference Finals picks as we have that now set with that win last night, Cavs and Knicks in the East, and then later tonight we'll get game one of Thunder and Spurs. So we'll make those picks, we'll preview those matchups a little bit at 4:30. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, DeMichael Cole, the Grizzlies beat writer over at the Commercial Appeal. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Summer is right around the corner. It's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. Above ground pools starting at $39.99 installed, with in-ground pools starting at just $49.99. All in-stock patio furniture, it's priced to move. And five-piece patio furniture sets starting at just $999. Outdoor sectionals, they're starting at $1,299 with free umbrella and base with select patio furniture sets. Don't forget about those hot tubs and swim spas. Hot tubs, they're starting at $34.99 with swim spas at $16,999. Special financing, it's available, and if you head out there and mention this ad, get $200 off any pool or spa purchase. So head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We're Sports Time. He's Bryant Dacus. I'm Brett Nordsworthy, and our producer is Landon Schmidt. And we're live and local and with you until 6 o'clock, and we want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. Hit us up right there. We're always live and local from our Family Leisure studios, and this hour brought to you every day by the great people at Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway. And online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Driving luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, the only Lexus dealership in Memphis, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500. And you'll be looking, you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the safe, luxury driving experience. Online at LexusOfMemphis.com. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is the NBA Conference Finals. They're officially set after last night. We got an ugly game between the Cavaliers and the Pistons. 125-94, the final score of the Cavs on the road after Friday night. It was all Detroit in Cleveland, but that was turned around last night, and just really, really ugly stuff from the Pistons. 35% from the field, 31% from three. You look at that starting lineup and the way they shot the ball from deep. Tobias Harris, 0 for 2. He was 0 for 6 from the field. Cade Cunningham, 0 for 7 from three. Asar Thompson, 1 for 2. Danish Jenkins, 2 for 7. Had a couple guys come off the bench and knock down some threes, but they really did not have the shooting. 14 turnovers for them as well. And on the other side, guys stepped up for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You had Jared Allen with 23 points. Evan Mobley with 21 points. Donovan Mitchell with 26. Sam Merrill came off the bench, 23 points, and was 5 for 8 from 3. He was on an absolute heater last night. So Cleveland advances. They'll now see this Knicks team that has been getting all the R&R they need. I'm sure we'll have the rest versus rust conversation going into game one of that series. So should be interesting over in the Eastern Conference. But the Western Conference, it's what everybody was hoping for when the NBA playoffs got started. Oklahoma City and the San Antonio Spurs, the defending champ versus the team that gave them the most trouble in the regular season. Now, it's very different now that we're in the playoffs. The San Antonio team does not have as much playoff experience, but you look at the way these last two rounds have gone, they're starting to get that experience. When you have Victor Wembanyama on the court, it feels like he got a pretty good chance against anybody, but this is the defending champs. They now have to play. Oh, and it's a defending champs team that's now pretty healthy as Jalen Williams is cleared and is likely to go in game one. So they'll have their whole squad, something that they really haven't had most of the season as they've dealt with a ton of injuries. So really excited for this series, and hopefully San Antonio can just beat them. I mean, one game, one win for San Antonio would be better than either of the teams that Oklahoma has played in the first two rounds. So, I mean, you get one, and already it feels like a great series for you. We'll see how this one plays out. Game one later tonight on NBC.
And San Antonio's put it on them all year.
They have. Yeah, they've looked really, really good all season against Oklahoma City.
My top story, low man wins regardless of how big the name is or just three letters or big reputation or the score. There's too much complaining about how hard the golf course was. Everybody plays the same golf course. When these pro golfers, it's always something to complain about, isn't it? Too hot, too many team events. They cannot, I don't care what they tell you, they can't stand playing in the Presidents and Ryder Cups. They can't stand it. It's always something to them. It's the biggest pampered bunch of babies going. And Aaron Rahm, he had no problem with the greens. Everybody else seemed to have them. Scottie Scheffler almost reverted back to when we used to say, if he ever starts putting, he will be unbeatable. Yeah. And then he started putting. He was unbeatable. Mm-hmm. And now he's not putting, and he's beatable. Yeah. But Aaron Rye had no problem with the greens. He left with the Wanamaker in his first major, and I think he deserves congratulations.
No, he absolutely does.
Not top story of the day.
Yeah, that's my not top story of the day. Aaron Rye, a really fun weekend for him. Got better every single round, and that putt on 17 was unbelievable. I mean, when he sank that, you pretty much knew that he had that one wrapped up.
Long putts are flukes, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could have easily been a miss, yeah. But it wasn't. He made it. It was awesome. It was really an unreal Sunday for him. He did have to kind of sit around and wait for everybody to finish, but everybody pretty much knew when he was walking off the 18 green that he was going to be the PGA Championship winner, and he was definitely a good story. There's been, you know, a lot talked about with him now that he's won the majors, kind of been on the front page now of his iron covers, his two gloves, you know, both really, really good stories, and just to see him win is really, really cool. You know, obviously, you know, I've enjoyed watching him play. I've been a fan of his for the last two or three years, and so to see him get the win was really, really fun. But I thought the whole weekend there was a lot of good, there was a lot of bad, there was a lot of ugly. I thought there were a ton of storylines coming out of this tournament. We'll see how these guys play over the next couple of weeks, and certainly we'll see a lot of them here in August.
I can't ever remember a two-glove major winner.
Yeah.
I can remember gloveless. Yeah. Brady Couples wouldn't play with a glove.
I don't know about the two-glove.
I don't think Arnold Palmer ever played with a glove, but I don't remember two gloves. No. My not-top story, the Knicks-Cavs in the East, Oklahoma City-San Antonio in the West. Back-to-back years for the Knicks to get this far. Last year's heartbreak to Indiana. 12th time in Knicks history for them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. 9th time for Cleveland. First time since 2018 for Cleveland, and that was with LeBron James. Oklahoma City, well, the dynasty's only building. They're going to be there a lot. Back-to-back years, going for back-to-back championships. 6th time for them to be in the Western Conference Finals since moving from Seattle.
Wow.
San Antonio, a whopping 15th Western Conference Finals appearance. I mean, it's very Packers. It's very Favre to Rodgers. Well, the Packers weren't near as good as the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
But the consistency of a big-time star, and big-time coach, big-time city, big-time franchise, 15th, and this is the first of many head-to-heads, and they're going to detest each other in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, they are, and it should make for some very entertaining basketball. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break, and when we return, we'll talk more about what happened over the weekend at the PGA Championship. We do that next on Sports Time.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Brett, you want to know how much of a degenerate I am?
Well, I don't think you are degenerate, but if you have done something to think that maybe that you are, please explain.
I'm currently sweating Holy Cross and Bucknell over in college baseball. 11.5, 10-0 right now in the top of the ninth. Whew.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You are.
Ooh.
Who's batting?
Holy Cross in the top of the ninth. Got a runner on second, though. I mean,
they haven't done anything to this point.
Hey, they got the bloop. Now we need a blast, you know?
Yes,
and
we do.
And that gets us to 12. So,
kind of where the Cardinals were yesterday in the ninth, weren't they?
Okay, Brett, I thought about doing the show shirtless today after what happened over the weekend with the Cardinals. So.
I did not
think about
doing it, but I can understand why you would. And it really brought some – it's the first life in the ballpark since opening day.
Brett, it might be the first life in the ballpark since 3 years ago. I mean,
Brett, real organic life in the ballpark. Okay, we're supposed to cheer the red coats. Okay, we're supposed to cheer the Clydesdales. Okay, we're supposed to cheer the old timers or the veteran players or whatever you want to call them. Okay, you know, a tip of the cap from Tony La Russa. You're right.
That was real juice. That was good stuff.
It was. Now, you know I'm joking when I say this. I hope we don't get in trouble over there. You're going to bring real juice tomorrow night against Pittsburgh?
Uh-huh.
Along the left field line? Have the girls do it.
Honestly, Brett, I've got to be honest.
See how that shakes things
there
up.
There was a couple of shots at the tarps.
Someone's going to try.
There were a couple of, you could tell, girlfriends, wives, and I was like, which one of these girls just says, I'm going for it, and just whips it off. But
and Brian, think about it. I'm not advocating that. I kid. Oh, I wish I could reel that back in. Hit the delay button.
No kidding. But
just think about it. How many do you think were there with the Stephen F. Austin group? 100?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good amount.
Players,
I mean,
fans,
sure,
friends.
Sure. I mean, I'd say maybe.
You couldn't arrest 100 people if you wanted to.
No.
There's not near that much presence at the ballpark.
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not advocating that.
No.
I'm not. Not in G-rated, family-oriented St.
Back
Louis.
Back to golf.
Yeah, back to golf. Yeah, this is golf season.
That's right. No, I thought the weekend was really fun. Like I said during my Not Top story, I thought the weekend as a whole, there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad, there's some ugly.
What was your bad?
I just thought, you know, kind of the Scotty putting over the weekend was just kind of
real bad.
I mean, it was bad. I thought, you know, some of the shots here and there from some of the guys that you really thought, hey, this is the opportunity to look. Love Aaron Rye. I mean, love Aaron Rye. That was an opportunity yesterday for somebody to go and win that tournament, and he went out there and won it. There are a couple other guys that you thought waking up Sunday morning or throughout the day on Saturday, this is the opportunity where they go and they take this and they run away with it, and nobody could do it. And I thought some of those shots, some of those performances were a little bad. And then the ugly, that was just reserved for my guy that couldn't show up on time. That was the only ugly of the weekend.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Our friend John Goen that will join us on Wednesday, yeah. We'll do picks and we'll talk golf. We were texting a lot during the weekend about it, and he may use this description again on Wednesday, and I thought it was perfect for as congested, for as tightly compacted, all those cars, mm-hmm. and Scotty just had too many cars mm-hmm. to pass.
Yeah.
Everybody talking about 24 people could win today. No, they're not. It was too many cars to pass for somebody to come that far back of the pack. But John Goen had the best description of it. It was close, mm-hmm. but it was a pillow fight.
Yeah. No, it really was. That's perfect. I could really not describe it any better than that. That's really good.
I thought shadow boxing, but John was right. It was a pillow fight. Nobody, only Aaron Rye, nobody else really could seize an opportunity. John Rahm, I think too much is going to be made. Ah, mm-hmm. see there, he's not tested enough on live. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't know what the Sunday crucible of the major. I don't think that's why he didn't perform that great yesterday. Mm-hmm. Shot 68.
Yeah, I mean.
Another thing that played into it, when you have a par 70, it's gonna keep it kind of mm-hmm. compacted.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. I think you saw that all weekend, but no, I thought there was some really good play. I mean, you know, I think something that's been, you know, overshadowed now, especially the way that he kind of wrapped up, you know, Saturday and a little bit on Sunday. But, you know, we didn't get to talk much about it, but Chris Goddard's round on Friday, I mean, he has the 65 on Friday, and that got a lot of people to believe, okay, this course is gettable. Somebody can go out there and shoot, you know, in the mid-60s. And really, you didn't see much of that the rest of the weekend until, you know, obviously Aaron Rye did it on
yesterday. 63, but
yeah, and I mean, you know, that's
he wasn't coming back.
No. That was kind of the other story yesterday of he's just too far out of it. But Kitayama's having an unbelievable round at 63. But you just didn't see after kind of all the talk, because that's what I saw Friday night going into Saturday morning was, okay, Chris Goddard has shown that it can be done. We're about to see some guys really take over this weekend. And you really didn't see much of that over the last two rounds.
Brian, when we started, what do you think of my contention of so many want everything? Everybody wants every golf event to be Tiger 2019 at the Masters.
Yeah.
That doesn't come along all the time. A great playoff or you know, every football game can't be a classic, and we've gotten into the last two Super Bowls mm-hmm. being a little on the ho-hum side, and we don't like it. We're used to spellbinding, you know, thrillers.
Mm-hmm. No, we definitely are. And, yeah, I mean, the thing is, going into yesterday, before he won yesterday, Aaron Rye had one PGA Tour win. One. On the PGA Tour, yeah. I think that's four on the European Tour. But
I didn't know he had one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
In 2024, I had to look it up to see how many, but it was one. The Wyndham Championship in 2024, he won that. That was the only win he has on the PGA Tour. So if – I mean, I'm sure most people couldn't even name that one back in 2024. So if a guy that has basically no wins on the PGA Tour – he wins a major championship. If that can't get you excited or that doesn't get you feeling some sort of way, I can't help you. I mean, at that I have no answers for you because it's not, like you said, we're not going to get that all-time unbelievable tournament every single major championship.
Didn't Indiana get a little of that? Oh, y'all?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think so. I definitely did. I mean,
oh, great, 16 yeah, and 0, good yeah, but y'all?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't really get it.
Do we have to just have Alabama, Notre Dame, yeah, USC, and FSU and Georgia?
But what's funny about that, Brett, is then we get mad when those are the teams that win it.
We sure do.
Like, I mean, if it's these dynasties.
Same little elite club, Dabo and Saban,
exactly,
always in the finals.
These dynasties get built, and we get mad that they keep winning, but then you've got, you know, the no-names come around, and they win it, and it's like, oh, man, what a fluke. Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't want you to live on both extremes, but, like, you know, let's be a little bit happy.
We're getting it a little with Oklahoma City. Everybody just, you know, just guffawed and yucked it up and had a, you know, high-o time, Golden State and Steph as a dynasty. Oh, but yeah. We don't want it for backwater Oklahoma City.
No. So, yeah, I think it's kind of weird, but – you know, I did see a lot of that yesterday with Aaron Rye winning. Some people disappointed about the way it played out. Like I said, I loved it. I was enjoying every second of it yesterday. Was locked
I don't
in.
Know that I loved it, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's kind of where I want people to land. It's like, I just don't understand the people that were outwardly upset about it. It was like, that was boring.
Are. It's far just a few. And golf can, and historically has gotten – very toady about that. You know, it's really not, you know, you go win the CJ Cup next weekend. This is for us.
Yeah. No, it definitely has. And so, again, like, you know, Aaron Rye last week, he was playing at Myrtle Beach. He was in the secondary tour last week.
I'm going to say it. I felt it in the college football playoff around Ole Miss. For years, I had heard and exhibited and talked about, and, man, I heard all this. SEC, all for one, and one for but not y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was just for Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, Florida a little bit.
Sure, I mean, you know, I really don't get it.
We didn't know y'all was going to get that far.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Okay. I don't get it. I don't really get it. But I thought it was a lot of fun yesterday, and was
Tigers got a little bit of that in 08 with those those blue bloods in San Antonio.
No, they definitely did. They definitely did. And so it's I don't know. I don't really get it. But,
North Carolina, UCLA, Kansas, Memphis.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one one that doesn't belong in there. And so I don't know.
I mean, you know, and you know, if it's a close society. And we're not supposed to know the secret handshake. Just tell us.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, then if you just like lay out the
Indiana
rules.
Indiana got a bunch of that this year, and I didn't like it then.
No. I definitely didn't either. So I don't know. I don't know where that really comes from. I think it's kind of weird. But you know, it was fun yesterday, and you know, I guess we'll see all these live guys, you know, down the road, and you know, the rest of them. We'll hopefully see you next week.
And live, they had skin in the game because the public investment fund is not re-upping, and they're trying to find investors, and that'd have been a lot easier going around selling.
Sure.
John Rahm is the winner, or Cam Smith is the winner.
Yeah. No, and they had a good weekend. You know, you mentioned John Rahm. He was right there, just couldn't get it done. And then,
but they go back to anonymity next week.
Yeah,
I don't even know where they go.
What even is the live schedule now?
Don't know.
I have no earthly idea. But I mean, Cam Smith, it was nice to see him. You know, he's kind of the one that I always joke about. I feel like we kind of forgot about him, and he kind of got lost when he went to live and didn't feel like he was performing very well when he would come over here for the big events. Let's see. What is their schedule coming up? Next event, May 28th through the 31st in Korea.
Okay.
So
Dayline Soul.
Yeah, got a couple weeks until that. So they'll get a break and then they'll go out there.
Hey, I had the schedule at least. I got it.
I got live. I got live in Korea. I don't even know what time that will what's that? Ooh, no, yeah,
nobody,
I don't know. I don't know if I got that. First nobody round at 11:15 PM Central. So that'll be a late night. But don't worry, I got it.
I'm long gone at 11:15 PM.
Next couple, I don't even know. Next time they're in the United States is August 6th through the 9th. They're in New York. So they're international for a while. I say for a while. They only have that's only three tournaments for them. They take so much time off in between tournaments. So
I think it's even money they don't play the New York event.
I would say so. It's oh, wow. They get on an American run at the end of their season. New York, Indianapolis, Michigan. I think they're lucky if they play one of them.
What site? What course for Indianapolis?
The club at Chatham Hills.
I thought I maybe back to Crooked Stick.
Yeah, no, I don't know that one. So, I don't know. I think the international tournaments, good chance to play them. I don't know about the ones here in the United States.
I can promise you I'm not interested in Liv during the summertime when it hits football season.
Absolutely not.
I can't properly explain to you how little I'm interested in.
No, definitely not. So we'll see if those – they'll probably get canceled. We won't even know that they're canceled because of the football monster that's coming. But good news, got the over. 11-2 the score now in the bottom of the ninth.
Yes!
Walked four straight batters to get the over.
Oh,
so,
Brian, that's
that?
A great dub.
Made my afternoon because I didn't think there was a chance over was going to hit. But
Green Stripe already confirmed it?
I don't know. I haven't gotten into the account. College baseball, it's usually pretty slow. They don't Isn't keep it? Close tabs on that, like they should, I guess. But let's go ahead and get to another break. When we return, we're going to talk some NBA playoffs, a lot of action over the weekend, including a runaway victory last night on the road for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll discuss it next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, the NBA playoffs, the conference finals are set. We will talk more about those games and make our picks in the next hour, but I got to talk about what happened over the weekend. Last night, it was all Cavaliers. They got after it early. It was no turning back, really, and you talked about it earlier. I mean, I think last night was pretty disappointing to see Detroit play like that. Still a great season for the Pistons, but to end like that, they're going to have a real, real bad taste in their mouth pretty much all offseason going into next year.
Well, they sure are, but the strides they've made, mm-hmm. they got to keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
What do they need? What's the biggest thing they need to make that natural next step?
I think the biggest is get another ball handler in that backcourt with Cade. I mean, they do not have... I've heard people throw that out there.
One ball.
I don't like that fit too much. You know, the other big thing is, I mean, that's just a lot of money between those two guys. And how does the rest of the team look around that? I really don't love it. I think kind of get somebody that's on kind of a smaller to mid deal. You're not asking for a guy that needs to go out there and be the star. You actually would like the exact opposite of that because Cade Cunningham is very clearly your star. You just need another, you know, reliable guy out there. You know, I know we talked about Ty Jerome. Like, I think Ty Jerome with the Pistons would be a really, really nice fit of
sure would.
A guy that's made it happen, has never been the star where he's at, and has never really asked to be the star where he's at. And so, I mean, I don't know if there's any thought of maybe the Pistons trying to get a deal with the Grizzlies, but you know that's more the type of guy I would see as a fit for Detroit.
For a lot of reasons, all those you just listed, ball dependency, salary. Is Ty Jerome more attractive for teams than Ja Morant?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And a lot of it, like you said, a lot of it has to do with the money and with the injuries. You know, it's a lot of things that go into
stuff.
It. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff and you know, a lot of stuff that's kind of uncontrollable. But, you know, it does feel like, you know, if the Grizzlies today called every single team in the NBA and said, look, Ja Morant's available and Ty Jerome's available, I think you would have more people coming up with reasonable deals for Ty Jerome than for Ja Morant. I mean, some of these deals you're seeing.
Are we sure
are just
Ja's going to get dealt?
No. I would say it's, I mean, I would say it's like a 98% chance it happens, but, you know, I think there's still that 2% chance that, yeah, I mean, I think the organization's pretty much told you that they're going to do pretty much everything they need to do to get them somewhere else.
Yeah. I like these conference finals, but I the teams that were out in that last round, I don't think any of them should be hiding their head in shame.
No.
Cleveland, with James Harden not playing well, they averted the heavy criticism that was going to come down on them. They're going to get it if they lose in this next round.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they exit, James Harden's going to catch it.
No, he definitely will, and it's a good point by you because it's been so weird, the dynamics of the James Harden conversation. Because you're right, if the if Cleveland had lost that game, everybody would be hammering James Harden. He didn't play well last night. Like he was not very good at all.
He was awful.
He was, and it was just everybody else stepped up. But I'm hearing today a lot of people nationally, a lot of people around the country talking about James Harden and how good he was last night. He was horrible last night. Like what?
At 9 points. Am I right on the box score?
No, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. I mean, 9 points, 2 for 10, 0 for 6. He did only have one turnover. Had 5 rebounds, 6 assists.
He did nothing.
But you're not getting anything from him defensively. I mean,
that's
a given.
That's never been the calling card.
And so, like, I just don't get it. How some people, I'm seeing some people that are like,
he's not Tony Allen on defense.
No, far from. I mean, the exact opposite of Tony Allen. But yeah. I've legitimately seen some people that have been talking about how big of an addition James Harden was, and this was the reason that James Harden was added to the Cavaliers. Like, you can make that argument. Today's not the day to be making that argument because
if anybody
did not
was back off
night.
Donovan Mitchell.
Oh yeah.
It?
Oh, it absolutely was. Donovan Mitchell was great last night, and suddenly those bigs were really good. I mean, that's the other thing. When we talked about Detroit and some of the issues they have, you know, I mentioned the backcourt. Front court's got to be addressed as well because Jared Allen and Evan Mobley did literally whatever they wanted to do, all series against that Pistons team. Obviously, Jalen Duren's been the one that's been talked about a lot. He was not good at all throughout the playoffs.
Rough.
Yeah, man.
End of the year.
Yeah, it was really bad. But, you know, he's not the only big on that roster. You know, they went to Paul Reed, who's been buried on the bench all season long. He gave them some good minutes. They just don't have many options down there, and they don't have many options with size down there. And so when you see a team like Cleveland that, you know, neither Evan Mobley or Jared Allen are very hefty, but both of them stand a mile tall, it feels like, and are super lanky. Detroit just didn't have anybody that can match up against those guys.
I can't figure out where I am the most. Am I with the right moves, right draft, you know, just something decent in free agency? I'm not talking about landing, a whale.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the Grizzlies, are they, you know, it could happen. They're not that far back. Or it's two extremes. Or we're so much further back than we can imagine.
Yeah. That's a good question.
When I see these teams getting stuck at this point, and we're not in the time zone of them.
No, that's a really good question. I think what makes you have the hope is, again, you know, look at where Detroit was a couple years ago and the big jump they made. Now, the argument to that is they already had Cade Cunningham when they were going through that horrible year. They already had Jalen Duren when they were going through that horrible year. They had the pieces. It was just those pieces were super young, and they had to go through one of the worst starts of an NBA season that we've ever seen in the history of the league to make that jump.
More fundamentally flawed than I think the Grizzlies
definitely
are. If any decent health for Zach Edey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, I mean, you know.
Now that next Zach Edey injury, Brian, do you know how we all just, we duck and cover.
I can't even imagine it. I mean, I am praying that we don't see anything come close to any type of injury we see in this last season for Zach Edey.
I mean, if we got 17 games in next year and he had to shut it down until March.
Be really bad. Really bad. And that's the fear. I mean, again, you know, it's been a lot of injuries now stacking up for him. So I don't know. You know, I think the Grizzlies are in a weird spot right now, and I think that's why this draft is so important, because you have to start laying that foundation. You've got a couple foundation pieces already, but you got to start stacking those foundation pieces to try to, you know, build a really nice roster. So
and then put together the satellites.
Yeah.
I mean, it's It's a tough job.
It is. It's very tough, and that's why this offseason feels very, very important. But let's get to another break. When we return, we're going to talk some college football, some college basketball. David Cobb from CBS Sports, he joins us next.